So here he is from The Athletic, Josh Kloak. Remarkable reporting here, Josh. We all read the piece up in The Athletic. I urge people to check it out. And it's getting a lot of play on what's going on here. Describe, you know, behind closed doors here, what you're hearing. Is it as bad as it reads in the reporting in terms of what's happening with the players and the coach and the whole culture around TFC?
Might be worse, right? And I know that sounds kind of dramatic, but, like, you know, and this is a little bit of how the sausage is made, but anytime you do these kind of stories and you talk to multiple people, and, like, I should say, too, this isn't, like, a deep, deep secret. Like, these issues with TFC, people have been talking about this for months, maybe years now, and we tried to kind of outline why this is not kind of a new problem. And sometimes there's things you hear, there's rumors you hear that you can't really lock down, so we didn't really necessarily want to put it in the piece. But yeah, I mean, if some of these rumors are true and to be believed, then TFC have some real, real problems on their hands, because I think what they tried to do here, and I know you guys are kind of talking about this, but, like, they just tried to make this such a quick fix, didn't they? Right? Like, let's get two big guys and let's just hope that solves all our problems. But when it comes to team building, that's never the play, right?
What's up with the vaping? This guy just wheeling around vaping everywhere. I mean, like, I don't get it. Like, is he just vaping in people's faces? Is he trying to piss people off? And is him being scratched Bradley's last kind of straw, saying, I'm going down, but you're going to pay the price a little bit too?
Yeah, I think both of those things are probably true. The vaping one, like, I'm laughing because, you know, I'm trying to imagine, like, you know, a professional athlete on a chartered flight just, you know, having a rip, having a vape. Like, I don't care, you know, how kind of bad things got on any team. Like, nobody hacks a dart on a plane, right? Like, this is not, there's levels, right? And I think what that speaks to, you know, without getting too serious, but, like, I think what it speaks to is you have two players who came in on exorbitant salaries. And then sometimes I think what happens there is these players maybe don't necessarily feel they have to buy into every single rule that exists, you know, within the team, within the league. And, you know, that's disappointing if you're TFC. And I think that kind of speaks to the problems we're seeing now, where you have a player calling out a head coach very, very publicly, you know, and then the player is suspended for a game. But I think that's only the tip of the iceberg, as our story kind of laid out. So I think that's a big problem that TFC will certainly need to address moving forward is, you know, how do you sign guys, which TFC want to do? How do you sign big guys, but then make sure that they understand kind of what they're getting into and how do they buy into the bigger project, right?
Absolutely. My concern is, where do they go from here? You know, like what is step one to try and fix some of the dysfunction that you've laid out in the piece and laid out here in front of us? Is, you know, where, like, is it firing the coach? Is it, you know, changing players? Like, where do, like, not only where does the blame lay, but where do they even start to try and fix this?
Well, first of all, the blame lies everywhere. And I hope that's something we kind of spelled out is, you know, there's not just, you know, one magic thing that needs to change and then TFC are back in MLS Cup. Like, you have the biggest salary in the league and they're a last place team in the Eastern Conference and they missed the playoffs last year, right? This is not kind of, again, a new phenomenon. I mean, you guys know, you know, you want to spell it out. Like, when you have very, very highly paid players, and those players are the people that fans come to see, and those players are at odds with the coach, you know, which person is probably going to stay or which people are probably going to stay till the end of the season, right? I think there is a grave sense of urgency around Bob Bradley's job. And this is the interesting thing, too, about MLS. Like, it's such a short season, 34 games. And yes, they're in last place, but, like, they can rattle off 3-4 wins in a row, and they're back in the playoffs, which is, it's a strange league in that way. But like if Insigne and Bernardeschi do what they were signed to do, which is contribute in a big way, like again, let's just take a step back. I remember when they signed Insigne. Like I don't really know if there's a comparable in hockey or baseball or whatever. Like I guess a comparable would be, you know, that someone in this, a team in the Swiss league signs Austin Matthews now. Like that's, you know, it's just an incredible signing for the team. And people were telling me like, this guy should score 25 goals in a 34 game season. Like he should be the best player in league history easily, but he hasn't done what he's been paid to do. But again, all of that said, if they rattle off 3-4 wins in a row, then, you know, they're in the playoffs. But again, I think as the piece kind of spelled out, that's going to be a tall ask considering the dysfunction that's happening behind the scenes. But yeah, in terms of what happens next, I think Bob Bradley has to go on a real, real winning streak right now. And anything short of that, I think we know what kind of change is probably coming.
Yeah, we're chatting with Josh Cloak of The Athletic, and Toronto FC back in action tomorrow down at BMO, DC United in town. And Bernardeschi will be out of the lineup because of public comments a week ago about Bob Bradley and the team, and then behind closed doors meetings. And been a lot of altercations here. And I think where MLSC and Bill Manning at the top of TFC is in trouble here is that Bob Bradley, it just hasn't worked since he's been here. So you have Bob Bradley and Michael Bradley. Michael Bradley, I would argue, the greatest, you know, player in team history, the most success, longest standing, full commitment, captain of the team, well-loved, you know, by fans and by the city, and has embraced the city of what it means to be a member of Toronto FC. And then on the other side of it, they've committed to these two players, as we've mentioned, in Insigne and Bernardeschi, who have come in and look like their attitudes are, we're here for the money, this is Mickey Mouse. You know, the coach is an American, his son's on the team, and this, what are we doing here? Like, that's kind of the read. So I'm not sure how you win either way, Josh, because I think you got players here who don't look as if they're fully committed, and then you look at a coach who clearly has lost the plot here. It's like, okay, you might pick the players over Bradley, and that probably is what will end up happening, but that doesn't mean the players with a new coach are all of a sudden going to be fully committed. You know, it doesn't No. feel likely.
No, I agree with you. And here's, you know, one of the problems. And this is, you know, you talk to people around TFC, you talk to people around the league about this happening. Like, this was all a relationship that really seemed doomed to fail. And I say that because, you know, when Bill Manning hired Bob Bradley, he was very clear that Bob Bradley was the only coach he really wanted. Like, in what world is that the right way to approach right. team building? Like, let's, you know, because it's always about the Leafs, like, let's find a comparable here. If Brendan Shanahan said, you know, it's Brad Tree living or bust, like, you're kind of wondering, you're saying, well, don't you want to hear other opinions on what you would do with the core, for example? Like, don't you want to solicit outside voices and get, you know, all kinds of people to weigh in on how they would take this team forward? And so when you do that, you really back yourself into a corner. And, you know, it's worth remembering here that the TFC had approached and were very close on Insigne before they even hired Bob Bradley. So now you're kind of bringing in a coach who, you know, in my understanding, and we laid this out in the story, you're bringing in a head coach and you're saying, can you make this work? We have the highest paid player in league history. We don't know if he's necessarily going to fit in your style of football, which is a very specific style of football. Can you make this work? So you're kind of building the puzzle without all the pieces. And I think, again, that's why TFC kind of find themselves where they are. And that's why they've been at the bottom of the table for 2 years now.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this a couple times today, Josh, it feels like when Greg Vanney left, like that's what you could point to. Like when
just Greg, though. Not just Greg. I think it deserves, you know, mentioning. Like, there were multiple people who were architects of that 2017 team that most, you know, people in the league consider still the best team in league history, right? You had Tim Bezbachenko, mm-hmm. you know, who was again, we're making comparisons here, but was kind of like a Kyle Dubas type, right? You had Corey Ray, who was a Brandon Pridham type. You had these very, very sharp people who also understood their roles. And I think where it gets murky with TFC now is when you have Bob Bradley, and I don't know if we've mentioned this, like, he's the coach, but he's the sporting director. He's also right. the GM.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of responsibility for anyone, too much probably. And, you know, again, this is a problem. And I think, I think that's worth mentioning. It's not just Greg. Greg was a tremendous coach. You know, his record in Toronto speaks for itself, but there were other people around Greg Vanney who really built out this club. And I think what's happened, and I honestly don't know if it made it into the story, but, you know, one word that I heard a few times when people were describing TFC to me right now is insular. Like, there's not enough people making decisions. And again, I think that's a problem when you put too much power, you know, in the hands of a few people. Some people who have a good track record, like, this is what's kind of confusing here. Bill Manning has a track record of success. He was the president of the team when they won in 2017. But to me, like, one big takeaway for me is just you need lots of people, you know, weighing in so you can ultimately come to the right decision. Like, that was a big takeaway for me, right?
I got to ask you one thing before we get you out of here. When something's exposed like this, that's explosive. Like when you watch Netflix or the movies, there's like a little handwritten note passed at a coffee shop or in a dark alley where the note says, you got to check into this. It's really greasy and you'll love it. Or did something like that happen, or was this such in plain sight you just started writing about it?
Oh, it was a single vape pen left on my doorstep. It was a single vape pen, and then I just saw a shady character across the road, and you know, just kind of said, "You know what to do."
No, you know what? Okay.
Vaping in a trench coat in a
downtown. Yeah,
follow
literally.
The vape. Follow the vape cloak. You'll find it.
All it was like you can. First of all, anytime a team that is highly, highly paid starts losing, you have to say, "What is going on here?" Did I think that the answer would be, you know, vaping on a chartered jet? No. And full credit, I have to mention full credit. Like, this was a joint byline piece with Tom Bogert and Paul Tenorio at The Athletic. This kind of heavy lift doesn't happen alone. But, yeah, I guess all I'm saying is if you find a vape on your doorstep, start working.
Yeah. I love
I'll
the
take
the one...
it for a rip and then I'll... check things out.
The one tidbit, too, that Bernardeschi is jealous that Insigne has Drake's jacket or something like that. He's got a Drake jacket deal or OVO deal. Like, imagine having that much money and you're worried that the other guy has some in with Drake. But that's kind of what they're dealing with. So we'll see. Check it out. It's up there on The Athletic. He has Josh Cloak all over the story. Great stuff, buddy. Thank you for doing this on short notice. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, boys. Take care.
You got it. Josh Cloak of The Athletic. Yeah, Drake somehow had to get involved, although he's not directly involved. But that's the kind of ego you're dealing with here, is the fact that these two international players from Italy, according to the report, they don't get along. They don't like each other. There's been dust-ups. And
if I called a guy in my office, if I was ever running any kind of operation, and question about him being jealous about a Drake jacket ordeal, it's a plane ticket, man. And get out. Get lost. I cannot do the money they're paying this guy. What are we talking about here? Is it
millions and millions and millions of dollars?
It's between 10 and 20 or what?
Well, I think Insigne's deal is like 7.1, but he's got other deals on top of it.
Okay, well, it's like 7 plus, and you're complaining about a Drake jacket? Get a life. Yeah. And I would never want to deal with someone like that, ever.
Well, and that's it. Like, that's what you got. Like, and this is the issue that MLS has, is that you splash money, and I credit Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They spend money on this team. They have the highest payroll in the league. Like, that's, and they've been doing it since Lywicki came in. They invested the money. You know, it's a bloody big deal. We all remember that. And they brought in big pieces, and they won, and they were a blast. And yet, if you bring players that are still in their prime from Europe, there's a chance they're gonna show up and say, this is Mickey Mouse compared to
what I'm
used to.
And they're gonna cause problems.
And they might. You know, not all of them, but they might just say, hey, you know, I'm gonna do my thing and this isn't the way it should be run, or, you know, that's not how we would run it back home or whatever. That's what you're possibly dealing with. All right, Scott Mitchell coming up in about 20 minutes as we transition from Toronto FC to the positive story of the Blue Jays leading into their weekend in Minnesota. Danny Jansen on the 10-day IL. How do they respond to that? How many games can Kirk play here moving forward in the next week, week and a half? We'll catch up with Scotty Dearhazy B in about 40 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.